This episode of the Rotating Heroes podcast is brought to you by Force of Extinction. This is a 12-sided studio's original TTRPG where you are going to be placed into an overgrown and wild version of Earth where humans are bottom of the food chain. This is your favorite B-movie. Think Godzilla or King Kong, and you are playing the daring action hero who's staring death in the eye and immediately getting squashed. But fear not, there are mechanics for resurrection. It is a great time. This is a game that we have been working on over at 12 Sided Studios for quite some time now. We are incredibly happy with how it's turned out, and we really cannot wait for you folks to get your hands on it. So please, if this sounds appealing to you as something like you would enjoy, then go and check out the Backer Kit page. That is Force of Extinction. Just search Force of Extinction on Backer Kit, or check out the notes in the description below and you will find a link to where you can go and join right now. And if you do a pre-pledge, which is, I believe, like something like $2, you will also receive an exclusive D20 when you pledge on the actual Backer Kit. Thank you so much. I hope that you enjoy checking that out. It's a really, really cool TTRPG. And not only is it really, really cool, it takes literally 5 minutes to explain to someone and to start playing. It's so, so simple and so enjoyable. So for all you forever GMs out there and all your players saying they don't have time to figure it out and learn the rules, etc., just tell them, hey, go get Force of Extinction and we can start playing in 10 minutes. It's a great time and I really can't wait for you to check it out. Okay. Bye for now. Rotators, we're back again with part 2 of episode 3, and I hope that you are doing well. I'm going to keep this one brief and just tell you a list of things that you should go and check out right now, or as you're listening to this podcast, you should go and check out Force of Extinction. It's a cool new TTRPG made by me and my production company. You should go and check out Oaths and Empires. It's a brand new show that IGM. It's spooky and scary and very, very different to this one. You should go and check out Rolodex. That's right, first time I'm saying this out loud publicly. It is a brand new TTRPG discovery platform built by wonderful 12 Sided Studios. That's Rolodex.com. And you should also hug and give love to a friend of yours. You should give love. Is that the right way of saying it? Like, hug them and be nice and be kind to them. Not like the other thing. Clear mind. anyway, that's it. That's all I have to say. Bye. Take it away, boss me. You have one shadow pinned down. I'll say that it doesn't take you too long, Sprocket, to find your shadow. What would you like to do with Brian?
Quick, Sprocket, we gotta help Brian. You gotta help me get him back up.
Does anyone have any healing, or are we going to do medicine to try and stabilize?
I guess medicine. I don't have any healing. Well, since it's mechanical, could Sprocket, like, activate Brian's own healing ability?
Hey, listen, that's a pitch, and I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Get in his head, Sprocket.
Here's what I'll say, Sprocket. I'll allow you to make me an Arcana or Sleight of Hand roll instead of medicine to stabilize, if you would like.
Yes, please, because then I would be swapping a minus two for a plus three.
Oh, that's quite a useful 5-point swing there.
Yep. Okay, let's do this. I rolled a 2, but I got inspiration last episode.
You did?
So I'd like to use that, please.
Okay.
So that I can roll a 5 for a total of 8.
8. Can I get another save, please, Brian?
Wait, can I try? Just with regular medicine?
I'm going to need another save from Brian.
Oh, first?
Oh, my God.
A 10.
Oh, you bastard, Ed. You absolute bastard.
I fully thought you were dead then.
Oh, God.
Oh.
Okay, Ember, this is going to have to be just straight up medicine. And actually, I'm going to be, because I think that I have to balance this out somewhere. I think this is probably going to be with disadvantage, because this isn't just medicine. This isn't triaging a wound. This is trying to put together a metal man, and you've never seen one of these. You don't even know what bits are that broken that need to be fixed.
Well, okay. Oh, Brian. Oh, God. Disadvantage. Oh my God. One of them was a nat 20.
Oh.
And the other one is not. The other one's a 3 plus 3. 6.
Can I restore? But it's too late to restore balance.
Probably a bit too late.
Oh no.
Wait, but Jasper, if we're going in turn order, shouldn't we each have our turns before his?
No, we're out of combat.
Ah, oh, fuck.
That was the choice. That was the choice that we made. Brian, if I could get another death saving throw, please.
It's a 12.
It's another success. So, you've both tried and both failed with a medicine roll.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you would like to try and do before I ask Brian to make another death saving throw?
And a final one.
Yes, this will be a final death saving throw, actually. That's a very important point to make.
Oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god.
Well, with my passive perception and insight, having watched what Sprocket was doing, was attempting, because I just tried to do straight up medicine, silly, on a robot, man.
Uh-huh.
But with Sprocket's guidance, could I try a sleight of hand to move things into the right position? Like could we have like a ghost moment where Sprocket's like guiding my hands?
Here's the deal I'm gonna make you, okay? Here's the deal I'm gonna make you. You can. The DC is going to be 20, but if you fail, Brian will fail the death saving throw.
Hold on.
So it's your choice.
I actually think it's a good deal.
Hold on. I had a thought.
Okay, yeah, yes, Brocket. Okay.
I mean, I've got aid, so I can just give 5 temporary hit points to...
Unfortunately, temporary hit points don't bring you back up from 0.
No!
Unfortunately.
It's okay.
What's your plus to... sleight of hand.
It's really good. I actually don't think I can fail.
You don't think you can fail?
Well, don't challenge me. I guess the only way would be critically failing.
You'd have advantage. The DC is 20.
I have advantage? Yeah, well, I got a reliable talent.
Oh, you got reliable talent?
Yeah, so watch this shit. I'm like, I've been watching you, Sprocket. I watch the way you move those little furry fingers. I like what I see. I rolled a nat 20.
Oh, 30, wow. Baby! Yes! Oh, boy. Okay, so... You, Sprocket... it's funny, because you describe this as a ghost moment, but I think that's maybe the moment that you both wanted this to be, but Sprocket is so tiny.
Yeah.
Sprocket's so small, and sort of goes to sort of wrap his arms around behind you and just actually can't reach like your arms properly. And so I think just has to come around the side and do it from the side instead. But it's a tender moment nonetheless, as you find there is one sort of pipe and you see it's flowing with like oil is just spilling out everywhere. And there's like a few different places that you could connect it. Connecting it to the wrong one would almost certainly pump oil into the wrong part of a system and it would be fatal. But Sprocket takes a second, deep breath, and I think Ember, you sense a little hesitation in Sprocket, but you trust Sprocket and you go for it. You know that the thing that Sprocket selected is right. You go for it. You jam that pipe in as you just hear a and Brian's eyes slowly blinks once, blinks twice. You're still unconscious, Brian. But you are no longer dying.
I think as his bulb eyes just begin to just spring to life, he just looks down and sees these two friends having just jammed this pipe right up into his innards and just looking at them.
Buy a guy a pan first. Ugh. How you both doing?
Oh, Brian. Oh, God, I thought we lost you.
Yeah, no, me too. I saw the blinking light at the end of the tunnel, and I was, whew. Are they all,
And he looks over towards the dead Ember on the ground and the gourd Sprocket on the tree, and looks over towards Sprocket and...
Look, I know therapy ain't free, but if you need anything or, like, anything at all, how are you doing, little guy?
Yeah, no, I'm all right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, fine. Not a problem. I'm good.
Do I believe him?
Do you want to do an insight check, Brian?
Yeah, go on. That's a 5.
I think so.
Oh, well, good. Glad to hear it. They just, like, hit Sprocket's shoulder and...
Even with the very brief contact, you can feel the muscles vibrating underneath his skin.
Sprocket, you're like a natural-born killer.
Well, I just... look, I try and carry myself a certain way, don't I? And I look after my friends, and it's just galling to see yourself acting out like that. That's all.
Oh, but that wasn't you.
No, I know, but, you know, it's almost like seeing a vision of what I could have been if I'd made a few different decisions in life.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, everyone seemed to be kind of like a negative version of ourselves. So you were kind of a douche in that other version of you, which you're not. And you, turning towards Ember, you were real nasty piece of work. And I mean, I was competent. I'm the only one who got away. So, you know.
Yeah, you can have an inspiration for that.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I should probably put this other foot on. Hold on.
Oh, yeah, hang on.
I try to attach the other...
You attach the other foot, and Ember...
Oh,
disappears.
No. Oh, no, I didn't think about it. No!
Josephine, no. If you wouldn't mind taking your headphones off, please. Sprocket, you watch as Ember disappears.
Okay, well,
That's... I'm sort of, Sprocket's just looking at his own shadow that's sort of standing there now, like, I'm not sure I want to put that thing back on.
Yeah, but, hey, and Brian just kind of, like, shuffles himself on the tree a little bit. Still, to be clear, without legs. And just looking at Sprocket, look, hey, I've seen the way that you... Yeah, look at her with those little cowie eyes. No. Come on, man. Hey.
You see your shadow comes up to you, Sprocket, and, like, puts a hand on your shoulder.
Don't you start. Come on.
He's trying to be, genuinely trying to be comforting.
Oh, this guy gets it. Look, someone's got to go and make sure that, you know, I'm sure she's fine, but it'll be good to have backup. And, hey, if this version of me that managed to escape is anything unlike me, then she might actually be in danger on the other side of this. So I think at least one of us has got to go, and if it's not this bozo, it's got to be this guy, right?
Look, I'm doing this for you because it feels weird looking at you and you've not got a shadow, all right?
What do you mean?
You've not got a shadow.
Yeah, no, I'm not gonna shadow. So yeah, you gotta go. Am I misunderstood? Oh no,
I'm gonna get your shadow back.
Yeah. Oh fuck. Yeah. No, that's great.
That's why I'm doing it.
Oh
yeah
if you could. Yeah. No, that'd be great. I'll stay here against the tree.
All right. Cool. Bye.
Oh, okay.
Ember, come in. I'm gonna pull my shadow back on.
And in no time at all, Sprocket, you attach your shadow and you disappear. Johnny, can I ask you to take your headphones off, please? Brian. You hear a little rustling off to one side as just out of a finally sort of stomping back into the square. You see the head of Lucien sort of hovering in midair, still attached to the unseen servant, and dangling out of Lucien's mouth, you can see there is a strange shadow being cast across his chin. You see it is the shadow of a head.
Oh, hey, buddy.
Sorry, hold on.
Hands it off to the unseen servant and says, yes, sorry, I saw my... I didn't realize I also had a shadow and my head was... shadow head was rolling off, you know, off into... Where's everyone else gone? What's going on?
Oh, you know, the usual kind of stuff. They put their shadows on and out of existence. So, you know, I'm just kind of sitting here enjoying nature in this weird underground place.
So they reattached their shadows and then they disappeared? And they left you?
Well, I...
And what happened to them? Oh, God!
No, I don't know. That's not them, is it? Oh, well, I don't know.
That's not them.
I told them to go, so, hey, I can help you put your shadow on if you want to go help and follow.
Oh, right. Yes. Yes, let's, I should, yes, okay. Ha. Yes, okay, let's do that. Let's do that. Can I please get you, Ed, to roll me a dexterity saving throw?
That's a 9.
You see, as you kind of step forward and you begin... Well, I said, sorry.
Come on, man.
That was very insensitive of me. as you pull yourself forward to reach this shadow and to, you know, try and sort of reattach it, you see that the head of Lucian sort of bends down and does like a lick of your hand, and you notice that the shadow is attached to your hand now.
Oh.
And just as swiftly, he licks the other hand. The shadow, you see then, as it starts to extend out in the floor in front of you, takes on your form.
Oh.
As Lucian bends down and says, listen, it's much more peaceful here. I can't feel myself getting tortured. So if it's all the same to you, just go and look after that one and make sure, and sort of bends down really closely, make sure that Ember finds Tundra. They deserve each other. They deserve to be happy. Promise me. But don't tell them, because they'll get weird about it and they'll try, you know, they'll go, yeah.
Yeah, no. Yeah, sure. You're pretty cool for a head.
And you see, kind of, just blah, like, shows you his fangs and kind of goes, thanks. As you, bloop, out of existence.
Await my leg!
Ember, you come back to your senses and look around. You are on the deck of the ship. There's still no Vane or Vale. However, you do see, seemingly kind of clicking himself back together, your friend, Brian. And then, moments afterwards, Sprocket.
Oh, thank goodness.
As the three of you find yourselves back on the deck, and everything is back as it was, you are no longer in a strange underground cavern, the tree is the same, and you are sailing through the endless expanse of space, seeing these swirling purple and blue clouds go past as the Silverhawk continues on its journey. What would you all like to do?
I'm going to point at Brian and go, don't you move.
Brian just immediately putting his hands in the air and, hey, no, it's fine. I got my legs and I'm back. Lucian, Lucian gave me his shadow, so we're going to need to find a way to get back to him, but...
No, bullshit. I'm here to get Brian's shadow back and to make sure Ember's safe. You take that shadow off right now.
I don't know where the fuck, like, the other Brian is. I swear. I'm just glad that you're both here. And how are you doing, Ember? You okay?
I'm fine. Wait, Sprocket, you think this is that other?
I left Brian behind,
sure,
to come here
and
accost evil Brian.
Yeah, no. And remember, I told you to go without me, and then Lucian had a whole shadow that had fallen off his head, and he I don't know, it's weird. He kind of licked my hands and put it on me to try and, like, basically so I could come and help you. And so, hey, I'm here. I'm going to be a big help.
But you remember what we talked about then?
Yeah, no.
What did y'all talk about?
Well, I just want to make sure. Wanted to prove it, that's all.
You do also notice that there is no Lucian.
So, yeah, does that mean Lucian's stuck wherever?
I mean, I guess so. I mean, he seemed pretty happy about that, weirdly. But, I don't know, there's another version of Brian on this ship, I guess. So we need to try and, like...
Right.
Yeah. No. Presumably also with legs, so we're on an even keel now. But three of us, one of him.
Right. And then we're going to get his shadow, and you're going to have two shadows. But then we're going to find... I need to sit down.
Yeah. No. You do that.
Well, should we like establish, like, okay, say that we do discover another version of us or something here, right? How do we establish who's real or meant to be here?
Ember, out of the corner of your eye, with your unbelievable passive perception, you do notice that slinking off of your shadows, there is a tiny piece of living metal.
Oh, hey, what's that? That kind of looks like what leaks out of your brain.
And on each shadow, it's almost like a little sort of less than, like a very, very small worm, just sort of slowly trying to, you see that they seem to be attracted sort of towards each other, and they're sort of trying to kind of get together, essentially. But they all seem to sort of spread out of your shadows as you all reappeared on the deck.
No, I don't like that. What is that?
I don't know. Everyone, step back. Hey, Sprocket, you come here.
Yeah?
Come here, real quick.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is the metal doing anything as we move?
The metal seems to be attracted to... actually, the metal's probably attracted towards you, Brian. Just Embryum typically will, in a raw form, will do this. It will just try to inhibit or sort of try to reach the nearest sort of largest form of itself in order to sort of essentially be bigger and stronger. So the three sort of very, very small bits of metal are sort of slowly kind of being drawn in your direction.
Ember.
Yeah.
I just need to have a chat with Sprocket real quick. And hey, buddy. And looking down towards you, Sprocket, I can verify any doubts or anything that you have. I can tell you all about, you know, that conversation. And also, I think it might be good to have a tech whiz looking at this tech biz. And he just taps his head.
I'm caught up. Don't worry. Just listen. I don't know. I don't know how you worked out that fancy Ember. All right, but just keep it on the down low. Yeah. Let's have a look at the tech.
Are you good, Ember, to just... I don't know if there's going to be any clues about, like, where Lucien went or anything like that at all, but, like I say, I just need a bit of one-on-one time with Sprocket.
Oh, yeah, no, I'll be over here.
Great. Thanks, buddy.
You see, running from the lower decks, covered in what appear to be 1,000, like, pinprick wounds.
Oh.
Vale reappears.
You do not want to go down there. I don't understand. I was here, and I went down to look for the doctor, and then there was a train somehow, and then I just grabbed the thing,
and you see in his hand a small piece of Embryum just in his hand. He goes,
and then I grabbed this, and then I was back on the ship, but I don't think something is really wrong,
and he just passes out onto the floor.
Ember goes to catch him.
You absolutely catch him with no trouble whatsoever.
I'm just going to make sure he's okay. Vale? Sorry, I forgot which one you are.
I'm Vane.
Oh, you're still speaking. Oh, good.
Oh.
Vane, I'll get you right as rain. That's a whole lot of holes you got. I'm going to try to patch up those holes with cloth.
Okay, go ahead and make me a medicine check.
16 plus 3, 19.
Ooh.
19, okay, that's pretty good. He still looks pretty beat up. The best place for him to be would probably be, like, with the doctor. If you could easily
sort of, I think Amber's more than strong enough to carry a Goliath. If you did want to try and take him down there, you could.
Okay. Here I go. I'm going now. Feel free to chat. I'm just going to go.
So Amber's going to, are you going? Or are you sort of in the thing where you're like kind of saying over and over that you're going, but you're not actually moving anywhere?
She's going, but since she feels like she's stabilized Vayne, it's like she's going to go to the other side of the door and then freeze there and just listen.
And just listen. Sure.
A moment.
I think as this is happening, Brian just turns around to Sprocket and just kind of sitting down on the ground in front of him, just in the shadow of this tree, just looks at him and just sort of cocks his head a little bit and, hey, don't worry, you don't need to worry about me telling Ember anything. I got a memory. I saw the screenshot that you took in my head. It's my screenshot.
Oh.
But hey, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Hey. And you just see as his jaw kind of opens a little bit and there's just a as just printing out this little Polaroid as he just like places this screenshot in your hand. It seems to be made of paper thin embryum. He just places it in your hand and, hey, you can have that as a keepsake.
We'll say because you printed it out using a tiny bit of embryum, it's like one of those like moving images. and so it's just like a little loop of like an image.
Thanks, mate. I appreciate that.
Hey, no, it's fine because, you know, she's never going to like you back.
No, yeah.
So savage.
Thanks, mate, for the bit of brutal honesty is how I'd describe it, but it's, maybe that's just what I needed to hear, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, it's hard, I think. And he just, like, places a metal hand on your shoulder. You know, when you love something dearly, and, hey, I'm all metal and wires, but not too dissimilar to the way that you guys work, and it hurts when you have something ripped away from you, you know?
Yeah.
So I got to ask, why was it so easy for you to do the same to my friends?
And you just feel that metal hand just begin to slide across your shoulder towards your neck.
Oh my god! You snuffed them out like it was fucking nothing. And when I'm done doing the same to you, I'm gonna go into the other room and I'm gonna kill your friend. Then I'm gonna find the closet that I shoved myself into and I'm gonna fucking pluck his bulbs out as well. You understand? This is real hurt, you little cow.
I think we should go ahead and roll initiative, guys.
Oh my god.
Brian, too, you have advantage on this.
Oh my god. Can I tell them, Jasper, would I
yes.
roll?
Yes. So to listen on the other side of the door.
Oh, Brian, too, rolled a nat 20.
Oh no.
So to listen to this conversation, I asked in secret, could Ember please roll me a perception check? And she rolled a natural one.
Oh, no.
So Ember, you're currently on the other side of the door. And basically what's happening here is that quite often, sailors talk about this all the time, the nebula itself is a source of illusion magic. And quite often things manifest based on your own internal thoughts and feelings, etc. So, Ember, what happens with a natural one is that you press your ear to listen, and with all the sort of noise, that sort of the general noise of the ship, you can't hear the actual conversation, but what you can hear is a phantom conversation, as if there is a perfectly normal and boring, muffled conversation going on outside this door.
Oh my god.
Huh.
So you don't hear a thing, and you think everything is perfectly normal and fine.
I guess they just needed to catch up. Well, all right, let's get you to the doctor. Now I'll start making my way down.
Oh.
Ember trots off down towards the doctor, and we are back up on the top deck. Brian got a natural 20, and what did Sprocket get?
16.
I'm gonna die. And he caught me a little cow.
That was so scary.
That was. What?
That was so scary. That was great.
Yeah, that was sick, Ed, dude. That was. Thing is, I knew what was happening, and I was like, "You sick fuck!" I was like, "Oh my god, he's really doing this."
Oh.
I know I told him to, but Jesus, man.
Oh.
So, you find yourself, Sprocket, in the endless expanse of space where everyone can hear you scream because sound travels just fine in the endless nebula.
Uh huh.
Facing off against your friend, but I think you can just see and sense and feel an immense amount of hurt and pain in the eyes of this Brian. With a hand on your neck, beginning to sort of, well, or shoulder, sorry, beginning to squeeze just a little bit tightly with a vice-like metallic grip.
Mm.
Brian 2, what would you like to do?
I think just looking into your eyes, you see a veneer just move between the two of you, and you realize that Brian, too, has put on a pair of sunglasses.
No!
We'll say in your chest cavity, you've got loads of spares, like, just in case.
And I would say also, you notice that inside this chest cavity, there are not the spray bottles that you are accustomed to seeing. Or certainly not as many as the Brian you know. And you just feel where the hand is. An awful, just hissing sound. As Brian 2, just looking at you.
You know, in the 3 months we were traveling together, the real you helped me upgrade myself quite a bit. Let me show you.
And is going to cast Melf's Acid Arrow on you.
Oh.
That will be a 19 to hit, as just four jets of acid come out of the ends of each of his fingers.
Oh my god, I can't even casting shield wouldn't be enough.
Okay, so that will be 10 points of acid damage.
Uh-huh. Cool.
And that is all he is going to do, as he just looks at you and...
So bring it on.
Amazing. And now, at initiative 20, I'm going to need both of you to roll me a
d100.
What? What?
39. Ooh, 38.
Ooh. Whoa!
Spooky!
Get a room, you two. What? Sometimes I just love dice. You know what I mean? I just love the way the dice do dice stuff sometimes.
Uh-huh.
It's really, really cool.
But we're we.
So, Sprocket.
Uh-huh.
You feel a sort of pitter-patter on your head as a tiny little rain cloud opens up above you. And I shit you not, tiny little amber-colored sparks start falling from this rain cloud and around you, which means that melee attacks from now on are done at disadvantage. I promise you that was what was rolled. It's genuinely mind-blowing.
Okay.
As you are protected by little ember-colored sparks. So I'm just gonna... This is crazy. So you are covered in little ember-covered sparks, which gives everyone trying to use melee against you disadvantage.
Great.
And Brian, your shadow splits into three overlapping silhouettes. Absolutely insane. Doesn't do anything else. You just have three shadows.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
With that, it is now Sprocket's turn.
Okie dokie.
Sprocket, what are you going to do?
So my main concern is making sure that like the alarm is raised about this. And I feel like a very, expedient way to raise the alarm is to create the sound of thunder that can be heard up to 300 feet away.
That's probably a good alarm.
So I'm going to cast Thunderstep to teleport myself to an unoccupied space. I want to teleport myself to the other end of the deck, basically.
Yep.
Thereby force constitution saving throw for evil Brian.
Okay. Brian 2.
That is a... not good. That's a 10.
That's fail. So you're going to take 3d10 damage. Oh, am I going to say something cool? Probably. oh, give it any second now. Any second now. Sprocket's going to say something real dynamic. Nope, I got nothing. Sorry. Brain's not braining today.
Brain's not braining. It's fine. Brian's not really Brianing either, so it's fine.
But that is 16 points of damage.
16 points of damage.
Thunder damage.
Okay. Yeah.
And then, yeah, there's a big, an enormous clap of thunder.
It starts to echo as well, this clap of thunder, as the nebula and the illusory magic of the nebula starts to pick up on it and essentially like replicate the sound, almost as if it's creating a illusory echo throughout the nebula, taking and generating the sound. And you can see that all around you, as you pass through like thick clouds of this nebula, strange things will start to appear, geometric shapes. You'll see the people and parts of the ship around you will start to duplicate and then slowly slide back together as all of these strange machinations begin. And this is, again, quite common, and it's something that sailors have to really train themselves to sort of withstand, essentially, when they're out on the top deck and you're in the middle of the nebula, training yourself so that you do not let yourself be affected by these things, and knowing, truly knowing, that they aren't real. You can definitely hear the sound of the ship starting to come back to life. Most people, it would seem, were sort of in quarters or asleep. There does seem to be a curious lack of people on the deck. You have a feeling that Vane and Vale almost certainly were supposed to be on essentially guard duty and are currently not. As we're going to now pass back to Brian's turn. Brian.
Did I hear it, presumably?
You did. You did hear a giant crack of thunder from outside. Go ahead and just roll me intelligence.
Well, I feel like when I hear it, I'm like, I've heard that before. Oh my god, is that the other Sprocket?
Oh yeah, you don't necessarily know that.
That's an 11.
An 11?
He did hit me with this exact move.
He did hit you with this exact move. So I think, yeah, sure. We'll say that you're absolutely convinced that this is other Sprocket. The other Sprocket is back.
Oh, God.
And is currently somewhere outside, because you can now hear this thing happen going off like 3-4 times.
Doc, I'm dropping off a patient. I'm just going to roll him down the stairs, let Vane roll, and I'll turn around and head back.
Okay, question. Ember, how many doors do you think you got through? How many areas do you think you passed through in this time? How quickly was Ember going?
Oh, she probably moves pretty quick. Oh, she's got 40 base speed.
Okay.
So a few doors?
Okay, we'll say 3 doors. Can you give me 3 just straight d20 rolls, please?
What the fuck? That's an 8.
Okay.
A nat 1.
Okay.
And a 15.
And a 15. Okay. We will find out what happens to Ember in just a moment. Brian.
As thunder reverberates around this space and he is just thrown back, he just stands up and looking at Sprocket and just sort of having the same realization that Ember is having around 3 doors away. He just looks up into the space.
Oh, yeah. It'll be a shame if you tear yourselves apart. But kind of more poetic that way, don't you think?
And just reaching towards his right arm, just tears it off and throws it on the ground. And as it just ding, 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 in front of you, Sprocket, he just looks up as you see from his torso another just... as more sort of spider-like appendages just come out and...
Have fun explaining that. Brian, we knew ye too little.
And he just begins to step back, and if I can be permitted, maybe a sleight of hand check to try and skitter away up through a vent?
I love it! I fucking love it!
Will I make this a sleight of hand? It's ambitious. Here's the trade-off. You can either do stealth and you can get through the vent no problems, or you can do sleight of hand, but if you fail the sleight of hand, you might fail to get through the vent in the first place.
Let's go stealth.
Thus ruining your cool moment.
Let's go stealth. It's only a plus three.
Okay.
Okay, so that's a 16.
16, okay. You skitter away through a vent as you also, Sprocket, look down and see to your horror, a pretty large glob of Embrium sort of lurch out of the arm that Brian threw down and latch itself to the tree and just absorb inside of it.
Oh, come on.
And with that...
Oh my god, what the fuck?
Ember.
Uh-huh.
You're running. You can hear... all around you, and you can just feel in your heart and the pit of your stomach that your friend is in danger, that something is wrong, and you don't know what it is. And as you're running and running and running, you burst through a door and find yourself suddenly hit in the face by a wall of wind.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
And you see before you a tunnel. You've been in this tunnel before. Though right now you're stood on top of what appears to be this strange sort of steam train, with steam piling out of either side of this train. You can hear an unmistakable buzzing sound as behind you there is a swarm of these gigantic metallic hornets. Up ahead, at the entrance of, or sort of the end of this tunnel, there is something that seems to be attached to the tracks. Now, Ember, you've had this nightmare before. Though this is slightly different, there are a few details that are off. And you know who's attached to the tracks at the end of that tunnel.
Oh no, Tundra, I'm coming!
And that is where we're going to end this episode of Rotating Heroes Podcast. Oh,
come on!
Oh my god!
So listen, for our next recording session, I'll be sending you each call times. I think we're going to have to do some... We're gonna be doing... We're doing some one-on-one D&D, baby.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
Oh, come be a little Minotaur in space. You're going to have some fun. No one's going to double-cross you.
Wow. Guys, that was a fun... That was fun. Oh, yeah. There's some stuff to unpack here. Oh boy, there's some stuff to unpack here.
Betrayal
really is a theme that is running through the arc, through this campaign right now, which is not what I thought was going to happen. But alas, here we are. Thank you so much to my wonderful rotators. Before we go ahead and get out of here, Josephine McAdam, what have you got going on? Tell people.
Yeah, just things and stuff, generally pretending to be other people on a regular basis. You can find out in what capacity I'm doing that just by following at JCVIM on various social media platforms.
Wonderful. Edward Spence, or is it really Edward Spence? Maybe it's Edward Spence too. Who knows? Ooh. What do you got going on?
Who knows, but I'm nice, really. I'm Edward Spence. You can find me everywhere under that name. Plenty going on. So towards the end of this year, we are resuming and finishing off our imagined chapter of Middle Earth in the form of the Fourth Age. We have an incredible cast, including our very own Jesper William Cartwright as the incredible Theodos. It's going to be a very emotional, very bittersweet, very melancholy, but very fitting.
Fucking love that for, like, it's so good. It's so good. And I love playing Theodos so much. Like, he's just a grumpy, beleaguered elf who really fucking hates other elves. Like, it's incredible. Like, it's really good. I truly love it so much. His whole thing is that he's pissed that everyone went to the Undying Lands. He's like, you fuckers quit. You suck.
There's so much left to do.
There's so much work, guys. There's so much work.
But yeah, you can check that out. You can also, next year, we will be resuming our other incredible series, Shadows of Gotham, which had a wonderful first season this year. And you can check all of that out over at the Wounded Warrior Project Twitch page, where the entire series, all 8 episodes, are highlighted. It's an incredible cast. We have some wonderful guest stars as well. So come check it out if you like comics, if you like roleplay, and if you like difficult moral choices. But yeah, that is it from me.
Woo! And last but not least, je ne que du ne.
Well, immediately after this, I'm going to go for a lie down.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's what you got going on.
But if you want to find me on the internet in pre-recorded form, you can just search Johnny Chiodini or youtube.com/Johnny Chiodini or youtube.com/Oxventure, which is D&D stuff.
Hails, yeah. Wonderful, beautiful, incredible. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for being here and listening to this episode of the Rotating Heroes podcast. We hope that you've enjoyed it. It has been an absolute blast. It is really, truly a wonderful time getting to record with these three. They are just so delightful and I love them very much. And so if you are enjoying this, if you happen to be listening to us on a podcasting app, don't forget to leave us a review because it helps us find new people. And, you know, check out our, we've got our merch store where we've got some cool posters now of each of our habitable planets in the Axis system that I'm incredibly proud of. They look so dope. We even did little living versions of the posters as well, which looks just really cool. There's little meteors going past them and stuff, and I'm like, oh yay. It just scratches a particular itch for me. So go and check that out. Thank you so much for being here, and I dare say as well, I'm very excited to do our Rewritten Heroes episodes with these three, because man, there's some fun shenanigans going on here, and it's going to be cool to explore these characters even more. And we'll be back next week with our arc bark. Thank you so much, and all the stuff to say is
yippee-ki-yay.